Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
Chad Daybell,
the fact that he did have this cognizant sense of reality when the police came in, it makes you wonder, why did he stick with it? Why did he keep, what kept him going down the road of crazy to the level that he allegedly did? I mean, at some point you got to say, this person's nuts. I'm not going to go kill somebody for her. I get, in her mind, she thought they were killing demons. I fully believe that. I don't think Chad thought that, but why on earth would you stick around with somebody or do the bidding for someone like that when you already have your own other children over here from a previous relationship that rely on you, that love you? I mean, if we've seen their interviews, they still stick by him. Why would you do that? I mean, is it just all for sex and then the money of the insurance claims? Did he find a little, you know, path there that he thought, well, this is really good, and that became an addiction in itself?
Yeah, I think so. I'll put, you know, this is my conjecture, bad YouTube psychologist hat here looking at this. But I think he, because I see her as the cult leader in this, she love/sex bombed him,
mm-hmm.
got him addicted to her. And one of the reasons that made him an easier manipulative piece of prey to her was because I think he had no life skills. I really don't. You know, both these people, the reason why I think they went in the business of collecting insurance money is because they couldn't do anything else.
Yeah.
You know, he had written numerous failed books in my estimation.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
He really couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you keep failing at trying to provide for yourself, and then someone comes in, love bombs, sex bombs you, and you feel like you've, again, I'm saying, potentially reached the end of your rope of what I can, legitimately do with my life. And then she helps you rationalize really, really heinous, horrible behavior where we're going to rationalize killing people to collect their insurance money, because that's our new job. Our new mm-hmm. job is to collect insurance money because we're both incapable of providing for ourselves.
Yeah. That's still, it's just like from a healthy standpoint, no one would look at that and go, oh, that seems to be working well. It's like what?
No loving critics.
No loving critics.
Yeah. Because remember, well, who do they surround themselves with?
Yeah. People who agree with them are crazy. Yeah. And that's the biggest problem, I think, with most narcissists is the fact that when there is a loving critic in their life, they tend to push them out, or that loving critic gets so sick of their BS that they run away because it's like, I can't continue this if they're not going to listen and continue down with toxic behavior. And sometimes that's on a very, you know, non-extreme, non-criminal level. But when you have someone whose mind is this far out there, that's just the further that they can go with it. If no one's saying, hey, let's put the pause button on here and think about this.
Here's what also I think luckily failed in the sense of tragically for the two children, but it could have been many more because they kept dubbing people dark and all these mm-hmm. things, the dark demon, whatever crazy she was doing. One thing that cults, effective cults do really well is isolate the people that they've put into side their cabal. And Lori did not do a good job of isolating those people inside their circle. So they actually had, so those people that were part of their mouthpiece in their echo chamber, started seeing a little bit of crazy, and they actually had contacts outside of that small cabal that were kind of helping them say, what are you doing? This is a little nuts. This is a little unhealthy. So I think they started having leakage in there of the people on their in their immediate circle that were not completely, I won't say totally, but completely feeding into the crazy that was going on. And that's where the leaks started happening, because it was a cult in my mind. It fits all the parts of a cult, except that isolation part of it.
Yeah.
She tried, she attempted, but I don't think she was effective as she wanted to be, because she didn't wind up in Hawaii living forever in a happy live or after living off of everyone else's insurance money.
That's true. How do you think his kids are that are from his previous relationship with Tammy? Because I know they were standing by him in an interview. I don't know if it was Dateline or something. I forget which one did it. But they were behind him for a while. And I don't know the current status. I believe from what I have understood is that they still do stand by him. But that's got to be a hard one to wrap your mind around, especially when we get to looking at just the evidence here that Tammy Daybell, their mother, was asphyxiated. It was not just a natural cause of death. And that, I mean, you can't argue with the science on it. And then to see what happened and just the facts of this. I mean, even their statement that they made, that Chad made, basically saying we were under Lori's spell. It was Alex as well. How do you square that up with your dad being this monster that did these sort of things, or do you, or are some people just are incapable of kind of crossing that line in their mind because it just goes too far?
You know, children, and we've talked about this with other cases, children are the toughest ones to see reality and truth with their mm-hmm. parents, because, you know, there's a lot of confirmation bias, both positive and negative in certain circumstances. But I think this is a powerful statement as well, as kind of talking to what we've been talking about already. You know, who stood by Lori and who's standing by Chad? It's not, I believe, again, a lot of conjecture.
Yeah.
All we know is what we see.
Sure.
And all I can think of is that given what they know, they might just see their father as a poor, pitiable person.
Mm.
Not that they stand by him and think he's the greatest dad or anything like that. Is that he's pitiable. And they... them standing by with him in any sense or semblance also demonstrates a bit of a life arc that he has the ability to make connections to human beings, and he is just pitiable. Mm-hmm. And he got manipulated because they probably saw that before in his life, where he was taken advantage of because he's not really super adept at any one thing. He keeps trying his hand at all these things and keeps failing in their minds. And so, again, a lot of projecting of what I think on it. But at the same time, the fact that they're standing by him in any semblance says that he has the ability at least to form potentially healthier relationships than she ever did.
That's true. Very true. It'll be interesting to see what kind of relationships he forms behind bars, or what relationships he has formed behind bars. I'm waiting to hear any of that. Something we haven't heard, interestingly, in this case yet, is, which we've heard in several others like Alec Murdaugh and stuff, are like the love letters. And it makes you wonder if there's other folks out there who still subscribe to his thinking. I know some people within his circle have actually said that, well, his prophecies were or are correct. It's still to this day, like some of the folks that even testified in Lori's trial. I'd be interested to see if he still is able to bring some feeble-minded people in, and I don't know if feeble-minded is the right word, but something that attracts people the same way, you know, Lori was brought in, and God knows, you know, who else could have been in that circle that's still out there.
I guarantee you he is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's not a killer out there that doesn't have a following.
Yeah.
You know, because to be noted, so the type of people that, and I looked this up a few times for some of our other cases, you know, especially with serial killers, you know, they attract people that are feeling disenfranchised. They attract people that are trying to feel connected, to feel important, to feel valued. And if I get noticed by someone that's such a celebrity, mm-hmm. even a negative celebrity, you know, that actually feeds into their sense of self-worth, as misguided as that is. And they start getting idolized and things like that. So I guarantee they both have followers
yeah.
Of crazy, no doubt.
Want to listen ad-free?
want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free.
So you can binge on true crime.
Until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now. Or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.